The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Now go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse 24. And before I read, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, God, that we can come again and gather and be built up and be encouraged, Lord, with seeing our brothers and sisters and hearing them and hearing your word preached. We pray for today, God, that you would be pleased, Lord, to favor us, Lord, that we would all grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as your word is preached, God, that we open up your word and you would open up our hearts, Lord, to know better who Jesus is. Lord, we pray that today, Lord, during the services, that people would come here who do not know you, and that today would be for them the day of salvation, God. We ask for this time now that you would help me. Please, Lord, give me the words to speak and the clarity of speech that we need. And we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Well, I don't know that that's a typical verse for evangelism, but one thing that I want to bring out here is as we evangelize, understand this, the doctrines that we embrace as the doctrines of grace, in my experience, my personal experience, are the most freeing doctrines to present the gospel to people. To know, like here he says, to them God chose to make known. That when you're talking to people, really a very good chance you're talking to someone that God has chosen to make known the mystery of Jesus Christ. That in your life as a Christian, for the myriads of people that you've encountered and spoken to, a lot of them, maybe, or some of them, right, are people that God has actually chosen to reveal his son to. And you're in a position to be used as an instrument of God's grace to them. It's freeing to know that I don't have to have the exact right presentation. I don't have to be so smart to know every answer. I don't have to do any of that, really. I should be prepared, and I should know what I'm talking about, but I don't have to feel like their conversion is up to my presentation, right? If I don't say just the right way, then you know, then they're not going to be saved, because that's crippling. And last time I talked, I said I shared the gospel like that for years, and it was a burden. But to know that by God's grace, he's opening up people's hearts, and he's sovereign, so I guess he could have you speak to people who will never be saved, right? That's his prerogative. But chances are, he's bringing people into your life that he's already claimed as his own, that he will open up their heart and he will use your words to be part of that process so that they come to believe. So today what we're going to talk about mostly is the two ways to live. And I think some years back we went through these. The two ways to live program goes, I think it's a 9-week process or whatever. We're not going to do that. We're just going to do a 1-week, some really cut down version. Two ways to live. The older one, I think that most people are familiar with, looks like this, but they came out with a newer version. And if you got your notes from the back, that we're going off the newer version. So they switch a couple of the scriptures that they have you memorize. And other than that, it's pretty much the same thing. So again, J.I. Packer writes, this is what evangelism is, to present Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit to sinful people. So two ways to live. So you can break this down into three basic questions. One, are you presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ accurately? Again, the goal in evangelism is to get to the gospel. Now, street witnessing, that's, you know, that has to be pretty quick. You may, if you're using something like this, you may just have time just to say, hey, can I give you something to read, you know, and add a little thing to it, and then hope that God brings somebody else in their life. Friendships, okay, those develop over time. Co-workers develop over time. Family develop over time. But eventually, you're trying to get to the gospel, right? You're not evangelizing unless you actually are telling somebody the gospel. The nice thing about the two ways to live is they really simplify it. They give you just like six verses to memorize, and it follows a step-by-step, you know, like a almost like a chronology in a way of God. God's the creator, and then all the ramifications from that. So if you memorize the verses, you will have at least in your brain a real simple way of presenting the gospel, and really a good way of presenting it. Now, two ways to live, they also, they give you the scripture verses, and then they'll give you like a little blurb on how to present it. And their recommendation is that you actually memorize it, but that you don't use it word for word, that you memorize it so that you have clear in your mind, okay, this is a way to present it, but then you're always going to be wanting to present it in your own words. I don't do that at all. I usually just use two ways to live as a springboard, but again, we'll go into that in just a little bit. So are you presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ accurately? And then are you sharing the gospel with lost people? So here's probably where we have our toughest time, I think, is you actually got to talk to lost people, okay? No way to evangelize unless somehow you're talking to people who don't know Jesus Christ. And so coworkers, right? We want to be really good workers because we're supposed to be really good workers, but also so that if we ever talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, they're going to listen to us, right? They're going to listen to somebody who's been nice, somebody who's worked hard, somebody who's, you know, just been a good person to work with, as opposed to somebody who's now telling them about Jesus and the whole time they've never liked you because you've never been nice or never been a good coworker, right? And it's the same with neighbors. You've got to be neighborly, okay? This doesn't mean, you know, like, okay, each neighbor is going to be your best friend, but you should at least have introduced yourself. So when I say this, okay, I'm not saying this is a burden for everybody, even though it'll probably come across that way. Try to introduce yourself to your neighbors. So years back, we had a pastor come up. He had done a church plant in Fresno. And I don't know where they're at now or where he's at, but he impacted Ingrid and my life because he said, what we do, he and his wife, he goes, we make a point of introducing ourselves to our neighbors and telling them that we're Christians and telling them about Jesus. Well, Ingrid and I, we're up and down the street. We're, you know, it's like, because we walk, you know, that's, you know, so you walk and your people are out in the yards. And now we're like, okay, every time we see somebody, we're not like Amway salesmen. We're not going to be like that. But we are going to go up and talk to them, right? We're going, hey, how's it going? Your yard looks really neat, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And eventually try to get to tell them about Jesus, right? Now, that may not happen the first time, but getting to meet them, we've got to share the gospel with all of our neighbors, right? And in fact, with one guy, we got to share the gospel with him, and we're with him up to the point where he died, ministering the gospel with him. So you've got to reach out. You know, I think a lot of us are just like, when it says come out from among them and be separate, we think that's talking about like no interaction with unbelievers. I mean, we're not even going to interact with other Christians unless they're right in line with us, right? So it's like, you know, let alone unbelievers. But you've got to make a point of talking to people and getting to know them in some way. And then the other one is, are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? And again, this is freeing to understand God is not asking me to convert anyone. But he is saying, I need to tell people about Jesus Christ, right? So I need to be prepared to whatever ability I have. If you're one of these people that can memorize all kinds of things and know all kinds of philosophical arguments for apologetic type approach or whatever, great. And if you're not, that's okay. because God still will use you. And you don't need to feel like you can't be used. You can preach the gospel. And again, two ways to live is a good, just a good way, because it's like, okay, I don't know all these other things, but I can memorize six verses and I can tell the sequence to people. The other thing with relying on the Holy Spirit is actually relying on the Holy Spirit. So I think I've told this before. We used to have Jehovah's Witnesses come to our house a lot. They don't too much anymore. But it was always a bummer, you know. So it's like, oh, bummer, Jehovah's Witnesses, now I have to go talk to them, right? I was always like the big apologetic approach. And I've spent a good part of my life reading theology and studying philosophy and stuff, so I kind of know that stuff. So they come to the door and I'm in their face with all the reasons why Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. And so I'm talking to these people, at this particular time, two ladies, a younger lady and an older lady, and I'm laying out how their translation's wrong, how they, they're not following the Greek, and so they're missing where it says that Jesus is God, and I'm doing this. And it's just an argument, right? I mean, we're not going anywhere with it. And then Ingrid looks at the young lady and just with a heart of compassion says, do you know if you're going to heaven? Well, if you know anything about Jehovah's Witness doctrine, it's like I'm thinking, you don't ask them that, okay? Because they're not going to heaven, right? Only the 144,000 are going to heaven. So why waste your time asking a question like that? Well, the girl goes, I don't know. Right? I don't know if I'm going to heaven. So Ingrid gets to start to preach the gospel to her, and the other lady actually really physically drug her away at that point. But my point is, to be led by the Holy Spirit isn't, like, I don't think Ingrid was thinking, okay, waiting till God tells me exactly what to say. That wasn't the case. But her heart, my heart, I'm smarter than these people, I know more than these people, and I'm going to argue with them just to show them that I'm smarter. Ingrid's heart, I wish these people knew Jesus Christ, right? What a difference. What a difference. They could listen to me from here till doomsday, it's not going to change anything. I don't know what happened with that young girl, but I know Ingrid got to start to preach the gospel to her that day because she had a heart for her. I've seen God do that in my life where I talked last week, the initial thing is just this, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, to Lord, please save this guy, right? So to be led by the Spirit, I think in evangelism is as you're talking to people, as the opportunity comes up, pray a quick prayer that God would give you a heart that would want to see that person know Jesus Christ, right? And then he will. We serve a living God. We serve a resurrected God who we're united to him through the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not Pentecostal, but the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, right? And he indwells his children, right? He indwells believers. You have an attitude before God of, Lord, help me if I'm talking to somebody, not get all caught up with my own ego, but help me to just want them to know Jesus Christ. God will give you words to say, right? The other thing that I want to say with this passage in Colossians is that we don't worry if it doesn't go well. So Paul talks about suffering here, and a lot of his life in preaching the gospel actually then entailed suffering for the gospel. So not every gospel presentation for Paul went like this. What must I do to be saved? You know, a lot of them went like this. You're going to jail. Okay, so we don't face that here, but what we do face is this. I don't want to talk to you, you know, or that doesn't make sense to me, or get away. So, okay, suffering here, broad range, really broad range. You can be suffering like Paul or suffer rejection like what we get. But understand this. That's just part of what it is. A lot of people that you talk to are not going to listen to you. they're not going to be receptive to you. And that shouldn't be discouraging, okay? Over and above the fact that we're human beings and those things bother us. But as far as like, is that going to stop me from telling somebody about Jesus the next time? It shouldn't, okay? Because it's just the way it is. It's just the way God set things up. Again, we don't know. I don't know how many people tell me about Jesus before I came to Jesus. And none of them know that I came to Jesus, right? As far as they know, that was fruitless labor, right? They talked to me and I went away, or as I got older, I mocked or whatever. And so they have no idea. So we don't have any idea either. But I'm saying this to encourage you. A lot of times, people are not going to listen to you, okay? That's okay. It's just the way it is. It's just the way God set things up. There are those times where somebody will listen to you, and every single time, God's going to use what you said, because his word doesn't return void, right? So every single time that we, by God's grace, open up our mouth for Jesus Christ, God's going to use it in some way. So we can just be encouraged in that. So with the two ways to live, their purpose is to solidify the content of the gospel, again, so that you know, okay, this is a gospel presentation, right? And then once you have that confidence, the thought there is, I'm going to be more apt, more ready or whatever to actually tell people about it, because I'm not going to be so afraid. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? One other thing I want to add is this. I really don't do the two ways to live like two ways to live tells you to do it. So I use them like I would any other tract, which is, for me, it's a springboard. It's very easy, again, if people come by our house to do something, if we're out walking, we carry them in our car, we do all this stuff. Just to be able, if it presents itself that I can have a conversation with somebody, I can just hand this to them and say, hey, would you like something to read? We're Christians, and this is about Jesus and about eternal life, right? And that's a real simple, because, you know, they really, 9 times out of 10 or maybe more, they'll just go, okay. And occasionally they'll go, okay, and like look at you like, and what? You know, and then you get to talk to them. And really, for me, pretty rarely, but it still happens. No, I don't want to read that. Okay, you're done, you know. The other thing we do is we either write on it or we put a church, one of the cards from the church with the address and the phone number in it. Because we will, if we get the chance, we'll say, we go to such and such church, this church. Okay, and then we say, there's a number on the back. You can call it, and oh, by the way, so I have an advantage that you guys don't have. Oh, by the way, I'm a pastor, so I'm there all the time. If you ever have any question, just give me a call. Well, you can put your phone number on, or you can put my phone number on, or Daniel's, and say, hey, you know what? If you ever have a question, just call. And these guys would be happy to talk to you about Jesus. A lot of times, too, we'll use it to invite people to church. So inviting people to church is part, right, of the process of evangelizing. You don't always get to lay out the gospel to people. But we've had times where we've not been able to share the gospel all the way, but we've been able to talk to them and say, hey, would you like to come to church? You know, and they have at times, amazingly. People will show up sometimes, right? And so that's another thing. If you're going to use it to hand it out, then try to have somewhere on there that they can connect with you or connect with the church in case they do have questions, and in case they do want to follow up. I'm trying to think. So with the two ways to live, and we're going to explore it some here. As far as like sitting down and going through it and using it like turn to page 1, turn to page 2, you know, this kind of thing, they don't actually recommend that. But you can have times where you could do something like that. The only times I've actually done that is when I've gone into jail with the kids in the juvenile center. And there, it's actually, this is a wonderful thing to use occasionally, right? Because it's a little picture book, and you can, like, you can turn to it and it keeps their interest. And so I've gone, look at this, God's the creator, of all the world. And then, oh, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you can just walk them through. Now where you could have an, maybe if you're in a park or maybe with a neighbor or something like that, where they may sit there and walk through the whole thing with you, and that would be great. But again, the main thing with the two ways to live is they want you to have it memorized. Because if you have it memorized, it is just much easier just than to talk to somebody and to switch things up and to put it into your own word too. Our own words, right? So, it starts out with Revelation chapter 4:11 is your verse. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So you're starting out with God being the creator of all things. And that's the place, really, if you can start, you want to start. If you're talking to somebody and, the conversation, like how I do it, hey, we're Christians, about Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I've heard about Jesus, or I haven't heard about Jesus. I will try to eventually bring it back to the idea of God being the creator, right? Because it's important for them to understand what this is all about. God being the creator and the author of all things, you can jump right from that to, that actually means he's the ruler over the entire life. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, who made everything, or how is it made, or this or that? You can be afraid, well, now they're going to start talking about, evolution or Big Bang Theory or something like that. And some people do. But really, honestly, for a lot of times, people that we're talking to are not any really more sophisticated than we are, right? And so this fear that I'm talking to, Stephen Jay Gould or something, right? And it's like, okay, how do I answer that guy? We just don't need to be that afraid with it. You can start with God. Right, we should start with God. We don't need to build up to something. We are Christians, and we believe the Bible, and we don't have to let me see if I can sneak some real subtle thing in here to start to talk about God. Just in that way, again, not being obnoxious, but just simply being bold. Hey, it's all about God. Now, if somebody wants to take that off into some big tangent, you're going to have to reel them back in, or you're going to have to shift the conversation. But you begin with God, and starting with God instead of man, right? Starting with your reason, right? If you start to read, there are different ways to witness, different ways to do apologetics, right? You can try to start to reason with somebody so that they see that God, the idea or the concept of God is a reasonable, rational concept. Right, and we would call that a classical approach to apologetics, or maybe you would use evidence like Josh McDowell or something. And those things have their place, but really, just simply starting with God. Just starting with God. I don't know how long I'm going to have to talk to this person, and so why not just say, hey, it's all about God, and I wonder if you've thought about that, right? And then you can establish God's authority again, whether they are. In a place where they're saying, "Oh yeah, God has authority," or not, if you're talking to them in a way that's not just like in your face, and you've actually developed a conversation with them, they'll let you talk as long as you let them talk too, right? So it's but God is the one in authority. And have you, again, I wonder if you've thought about that, and they may go off on whatever it is that they're thinking about, and you can by, if you practice or if you think about it a little bit, you can stop people, again, not interrupting them, but stopping their thought process to show, you really don't have any basis for any authority, right? For anything that you do, really, if you don't understand that God is the creator and ruler of everything, the best you can do is just simply subjectivism, right? You can just look to yourself and that's it, And that's a weird way to live, isn't it? Because guess what? Not everybody thinks like me. That's how I find myself getting into trouble all the time. I think I'm thinking the right thing and everybody else thinks I'm thinking the wrong thing. And oh, what a big mess that is. Well, you know what that is? That comes from sin. You know, because sin is against God, right? So you can do these things, you know. And again, it's the idea of like, I already have in my head, God's the creator. I've memorized the verse, right? And now I'm going to go on from there, right? Because I know where I'm headed with this. God's the creator. God's the ruler. And guess what's happened? Yeah, everybody's screwed up, right? For me lately, and because things change, talking to people about sin oftentimes is a little bit of a struggle because they don't see it or don't believe it. Ingrid and I talked to somebody, and I really couldn't believe this. She goes, I've never sinned. And I went, okay, maybe I'm not explaining the concept, right? and I explained it to her, and she was just like, I never sin. And I went, wow. I go, like, what do your sisters think about that? Like, you know, I mean, like, does everybody in your life share that opinion, right? That you don't sin, right? And she was just like, she's looking at me and she's not really arguing. She's just like, I never sin. Oh, boy, oh boy. I mean, I was like, man, what do I do now? <You know? laughs> Well, I said, yeah. Well, have you ever had anybody do something bad towards you? And she goes, yeah, all the time. I go, that's what sin is. I go, now you understand. Okay, sin is this, you know. And again, I'm trying to eventually get to her to see that she's a sinner, but at least could get the concept of sin. And I find, again, you got to do how you're comfortable with. But I find a lot of times lately with the people I'm talking to, the way I introduce sin is simply this. Everybody's had somebody mistreat them. Everybody knows what it's like to have somebody do something to you when you didn't deserve it, right? And where do you think that came from? You know, I mean, how is that just like, you know, I mean, you could go off on all that. Is that just a cultural thing? Is it this? Where's that come from? You know, well, I usually, if I can, I jump right to it. I go, that's because people have sinned against God. And this has come into the world. And guess what the Bible says? It says everybody's that way. And then they just say that those people are that way, I'm that way, and you're that way too. Well, you start with God and you can jump to man's problem. So two ways to live. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The blue one has a different verse, but I didn't memorize that one, so I don't know. They switched the two ways to live in part to bring in some verses from the Old Testament and in part to simplify things. That's not a hard verse to memorize. All we like sheep have gone astray, right? We've turned everyone to his own way. That's a pretty easy verse to memorize. And again, just throwing the stuff out there, that stuff's kind of neat. Because if somebody's talking to you, you can go, you know what? The Bible talks like this a lot. Have you ever noticed that we really don't learn too much if we're just talking like 2 + 2 = 4 or something like that? But we learn a lot when you use illustrations to paint pictures. The Bible paints pictures like that all the time. Isn't that interesting? I've never been a sheep farmer, but I get the picture here of what he's talking about. Have you ever thought about your life like that? Here I am, running away from God, just like a sheep would go astray, right? There's just so much that really, once you start talking to somebody about Jesus, right, there's just so much to say, right? And really, if the opportunity presents itself, and I'm not saying this like you don't do it, but you will find that you know a whole lot of things to say, right? And you don't need to be afraid. You know, you really don't need to be afraid to share the gospel. And again, the good thing with this is it kind of keeps you on a track. There's God, he's the ruler, he created everything. That can go off into different conversations, or it can go right to this. Yeah, you know what? That kind of has an idea of us, doesn't it? Where are we at with God? You know, and it says we've all gone astray, you know. And again, don't be afraid to bring in Bible, okay? It doesn't matter if they don't know it or they don't believe it. If you're talking to them, and again, if you're interacting in a way where they feel like they can interact with you, you can talk about Adam. Yeah, guess what? We all start with Adam, and Adam's the one that sinned. If they want to get off on some big abstraction about, you know, whatever, you know, that's okay. You know, you can stop that and you can bring it back and say, yeah, kind of more what I'm talking about is how this idea of sin came into the world, right? Because we're talking about an ethical thing. We're talking about a moral thing. We're not just talking about how animals eat other animals or something. We're talking about how people actually mistreat people. And have you ever, why would that be? Why would it be that people are actually mean? Why would it be that people are actually, you know, whatever, you know? And bring it back, okay, just bring it back to something that, they can relate to. So, again, if you can, you know, you try to bring it, you include yourself, okay? Yeah, this means me too, okay? And it means you, because guess what? The Bible talks about it like being something from the inside, from the deepest recess of you. It's not talking about something that's like just a superficial thing. It's like if you were to cut me open and go, what is your deepest essence? The Bible actually says it's nasty, you know, that I'm in rebellion against God and that I'm living my life against him, right? Again, that can generate conversation, and so you'll just have to see where it goes. So the next one they go to is just as is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Again, that's a pretty easy verse to memorize. And then now if somebody's listening to you this far, now you're kind of getting into things, right? But again, you can, you know. People don't think about dying too much anymore. Nowadays, it's real easy for me because I can go, yeah, I'm, you know what? The Bible says you can live till you're 70 years old, and if you're really good, you know, really strong, you can live to 80. I got a year and a half, right, to live, you know? So I think about dying, right? Have you ever thought about dying? You know, if you're talking to a kid, they're like, no, I haven't. I said, well, guess what? One day you're going to be like me. One day you're going to be a year and a half away, and then that's it. Boom. Right? and then what are you going to do? Right? Well, here's again, the Bible talks about actually standing before God that day. Wonder, you know, and you can, if you talk to people like how you know it or how you mean, so if I'm talking to somebody like I need to prove this with some type of really deep philosophical conversation, you know, okay. And it's going to sound like that. Okay. It's just going to sound like a lecture. Okay, but if I'm talking like this, you know what? I'm going to stand before God someday. Man, have you ever really thought about that? Have you ever stopped? And they may go, no. I said, well, I have. And guess what? The Bible tells me about it all the time. And I don't want to stand before God, because guess what it says? I'll be judged on all of what I've ever done or what I've ever thought. And I want to say, again, if you've gotten this far in the conversation, most people, if you go, think about all the things that you've thought, that resonates. Because everybody's thought weird stuff, right? Everybody's thought bad stuff. And you're going, and I would be judged on that? You know, that's what I would be judged on? And again, the idea here is, you know who it's against, though? It's against this God who created everything. Remember, we talked about God, and he made everything good. And God's not like how you think he is. You know, I know you think God's just a big rule maker and stuff, but he's not. But guess what? My sin is against the God who's good. So that means everything that I've done is really, really bad. And it's a personal offense, right? It's not just an abstraction, it's a personal offense against a personal God who's good. And then you go into it, so what the Bible says, this means something, and it means sin equals death, you know, sin equals judgment. And again, so then you start to talk about, but you know, God really is good. And, you know, the one, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, right? Again, what a wonderful verse to talk about. I personally usually just use, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, right? using the two ways to live, I use this, right? And again, I try to then keep it like, what a neat picture that is. And you know what? What does that mean that God would lay on him the iniquity of us all? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what God's love actually looks like, because it's not just, I love you. God's love is a person. And what it means is Jesus Christ, who's actually God and actually man. And he came and he lived a perfect life. And you know, the reason he did that is because we didn't. And God can't just simply let people go. Yeah, that would be weird, wouldn't it? You know, think about that. So think about the worst crime you can think about. And the guy goes before the judge and the judge's like, oh, it's almost like, hey, no problem. You're free. Free to go. Right? I said, what would you think about that? I go, the judge would be more evil than the person that did the crime, wouldn't it? You know? And you go, so here's the thing. Jesus had to live a perfect life, but he didn't have to live it. He's coming from heaven. You know what? He doesn't have to do it. Why would he do it? Well, he did it for us. He lived a perfect life, and this is why he lived a perfect life, so that he wouldn't be condemned and sentenced, so that when he goes to the cross, you know what the cross is? That was like their death penalty back then. They're like, we may use electric chair or you know, lethal injection. Back then, they hung you on a cross, you know? So it was a horrible way to die, but Jesus was doing it not just because he's, you know, dying. He's doing it because he's dying for you, right? Here's the gospel, is when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, he goes to the cross for us. And you know what? We are reformed. And you can tell people, Jesus Christ going to the cross, right, for you. Was that really Calvinistic? Was that like, okay, the free, well, the gospel? Tell people about Jesus. God knows those who are his. We don't have to be afraid, okay? You don't have to be afraid of telling people about Jesus Christ. What was the biggest thing in your life? Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. If you want to evangelize people and you want to overcome your fears and you want to overcome this, just simply get excited about the fact that your sins are forgiven. You don't have to get a big brain to evangelize. But you really do have to get a big heart, right? You just have to, when you're talking to somebody, talk to them like you know, like it means something to me, right? It really means something to me because I know it, right? And you'll find that your conversations will just go better. And again, it's easy for me to get up here and say this. I've talked a lot of people, and most of them did not want to hear what I had to say. Okay, when I'm saying this, it's not as if, oh yeah, you do that, and every single person can go, wow, that was great, thanks for coming into my life, you know? No, most of them aren't, but that's okay. It's just, you're sowing seeds, right? You're sowing seeds, and so sow them, and be open to however God is going to work in your life to talk to people. So again, you can get excited. And as long as people let you talk about Jesus, you know, you can talk about them. But then two ways to live goes to Jesus as the risen ruler. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, right? Hey, he rose from the dead. And you start to explain to people, this is what this means. It, you know, and you tell them it means life. It means life for you. It means Jesus is real. It means you can know him right now, right? You see, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about something that should excite us, right? There's nothing wrong with getting impassioned. Tim from Bryce and I shared this love of fly fishing. When he talks to me about fly fishing, man, I get all, wow. You know, well, yeah, and I talk to him and I get all excited about it. And we're talking about fishing, right? I get excited. I can talk to Brian about baseball. I can't talk to Daniel about soccer, but you know, that's just the way it goes, you know? And he buys a Ford pickup and I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that. It's like, okay, that's part of that, you know, learning disability thing or whatever, you know? I don't know. But there are other things Daniel and I can talk about, right? And you get excited. I mean, we get excited about stuff that is really not that important in life. When you get the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, and you actually get to the point where they're listening to you, get excited because it is exciting, right? Because you know, and you don't have to be afraid. And if they start to go, you know, like, you're getting a little weird. Hey, I know, but I can't help it, right? Because, wow, I was dead and now I'm alive. And you can be too. And again, sometimes like this. And it's, you know what? It's no accident that I'm talking to you. You know, this didn't just happen. This isn't just happenstance. You know, I'm getting to talk to you because I'm telling you about God and I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. And so that kind of goes into their next one, where with the two ways to live, all right? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son does not see life, and the wrath of God abides on him. You don't, again, things don't work out always so sequentially, but if somebody's letting you present and you're interacting with them, you are getting to this point, and you will get to eventually, and you have to say, you know, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is, again, this isn't something like just take or leave. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't always get to do the whole thing, right? You don't always get to evangelize all the way, but you do get to sow seeds. So I was in the office and I was getting a scam call, and I hung up, and it was kind of funny because the guy called back and I didn't recognize the phone, and he goes, "Why'd you hang up?" And I was like, "Cause it was a scam, because I think you're a scammer." And he's like, "I'm not a scammer." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, people don't just give $5 million away to people unless they're scamming them, right?" And he's like, "No, I'm not a scammer." So he talks to me, and after a bit, I hang up. And he calls back again, and I'm like, thinking, I've never had this happen. You know, it's like, I'm like, now I'm confused. Like, because if you're a scammer, why are you wasting your time, right? And it's like, what's this guy's thing all about? What's he doing, you know, because he keeps calling back. So he'd call back and I'd hang up. He'd call back and I hung up. But during all these callbacks, right, a little bit of conversation would take place. And at one point, he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." You know, right? So this next time he calls up and he's trying to convince me that he's not a scammer, you know, and he goes, "Well, seeing is believing, you know, like if you go down to the bank, you'll see." And I'm like, "I'm not going to go down to the bank, and I don't believe seeing is believing anyway." And he goes, "You don't?" I said, "Well, no, not necessarily." And he said, "Well, do you believe that God created the world?" And up until this point, he was just a scammer, right? And it was just like kind of wasting my time. And He hangs up, or I think he hangs up at that point. Or he wasn't hanging up. I must have hung up after a little bit. And then my heart smote me, and I thought, this guy has called me like four times, and I've never even thought once about telling him about Jesus. I mean, because the whole thing is like, this is just a weird psycho conversation, and why is it happening to me, and I'm busy, and I don't have time for this, you know? And I'm not kidding you, my heart swam. I was like, "Oh God, I you know, I'm just talking to people about evangelizing, and here I got a guy calling me four or five times, and I've never even thought about telling him about Jesus." And so I don't think he'll call back, and please forgive me, you know, and if something like that ever happens again, then please help me have a different attitude about stuff, you know? And sure enough, the guy calls back, and I'm like, "Wow." And so he starts to talk to me, and he says again, he goes through his little spiel about seeing, believing. I go, I don't think that's true, but nevertheless, he says, "What?" He goes, "You do think God created the heavens and the earth?" And I'm thinking, oh, two ways to live. I go, "Yeah, of course I do." I said, "What about you?" And he goes, and he doesn't, he's a sales guy or a scammer. He goes, "Yeah, I think God created heavens and the earth." And I knew that I didn't have a lot of time with this guy. And I went, "Well, do you know that means that one day you're going to stand before him and you're going to have to answer for everything that you've ever done?" I'm talking to a guy who spends his whole life scamming people, right? And he is dead silent on the other end. And he'd given me a name. I don't know that was his name, but I just called him by it. I said, "Mike," I go, "I'm telling you this because you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to have to answer for every single thing you've done." Well, then he did hang up, right? But here's the thing, you don't always get to the end. You don't always get to tell people about Jesus. You don't always get to share the whole gospel. I don't know where that guy's going to go, you know? He's a bad dude, ripping people off as far as I can tell. Or he's probably just a puppet, you know, he gets paid so much to make the phone calls or whatever. But nevertheless, here's the thing. You know, my heart changed from this guy's just an annoyance in my life to this guy's got a soul, and God opened up my mouth so that I can say something with him. Now, it just so happened, providentially, he starts talking exactly like the way the two ways to live things are. But you know what? If he hadn't, two ways to live would have been a really good thing for me. Because in a short period of time like that, to really have these things memorized, you really can just kind of like go into this mode of, oh, boom, 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 you know, to where you can start just talking to people and get the conversation going. Now, do I wish he would have stayed on the line then? I really do. You know, I have no idea where that guy's at, you know, but I know he heard truth, and I know God is working. I hope God works in his life, you know, to save him, and that this just isn't something more where he hardened his heart. You know, as a side thing, as I'm thinking, well, that's an interesting way to talk to scammers now, right? It's like, next time somebody calls a scam, oh, I'm not interested in that, but by the way, you know, let me ask you a question, you know, and see where it goes. Well, two ways to live is a really nice, easy way to have to start to share the gospel with other people. Again, we put them in our truck or our car. We have them by our front door, you know. We take them with us because you do run into people. Now, we're not out. Don't want to give you the wrong impression. I'm not handing hundreds of these things out a day. I'm not. But throughout the week or throughout the month, I will hand them out, right? Because I'll run into people. Most of the times, again, it's for me, it's no more than, hey, this is about Jesus, about eternal life, and just a little, you know, just a little shotgun thing in there, and then try again to say, hey, I have a card in there, and it's where I go to church, and, you know, give me a call. And we try to be nice as much as they're there. Like, and oh, by the way, don't feel awkward. You know, there are a bunch of people in there. Just ask for Charlie, ask for Ingrid. They'll know who we are, and you know, we'll come find you. And you know, you can sit with us so you don't feel weird about it or whatever. But inviting people to church is a really, really good way to begin the process of evangelism, right? Because we have really, really good preaching here, and they really hear the gospel every time. And we have really nice people here, so we don't have to be afraid of it. But then, two, these are six pretty short verses. You know, I picked up the new one, and my brain's shot, and I memorized it like right in an afternoon or something, right? So you guys can do it too, right? Just memorize them. If you want to go, Matt Berlich, when we did the first Two Ways to Live, he memorized the verses, and he memorized the little summary statements and everything, and he uses it to this day when he talks to people. That's how he shares the gospel, right? Of course, he's putting it in his own words, but you can do that. You can memorize the verses, you can memorize the little blurbs, or a lot of times just let the verses be the trigger for you. But again, you have six verses, takes you from God being the creator, man falling, you know, in sin, God redeeming man, okay, through Jesus Christ, and then, you know, kind of like, what are you going to do about it kind of thing. So it's a great way to do it. And then again, just to encourage you, just start to think about talking to people, and you know, if it's a longer-term relationship, working towards, you know, one day I want to actually tell this person about Jesus Christ, right? And having that attitude that this is part of what it is to be a Christian. So we read the verse last time out of Ephesians with the armor of God, and actually the the gospel of peace is just simply part of the armor of God. Telling people about Jesus is just part of what it is to be a Christian. It's not some type of take it or leave it kind of thing, right? It's part of what your sanctification looks like. And then Paul, here in this verse in Colossians, one of the things I was amazed with is for Paul, there doesn't seem to be this idea of evangelism and then church ministry. For him, those things are tied together. Well, of course they would be, because we believe in the doctrine of election, right? So for us, every time I'm evangelizing, what am I doing? Nothing other than church ministry. It's just simply part of what the church is to be the church. You know, my hope is that the one I'm talking to is also, has also been chosen by God, right? And so, again, for me, these things are always kind of freeing, because I think, okay, evangelism, like, that's an extra added thing, you know, and if you start to think of it like that, then it's just an extra added burden to your life, you know, or one more thing you have to do kind of thing. But as opposed to, like, it's just what it is. To be in the body of Christ is to tell other people about Jesus. And then don't be afraid. I had one guy one time just totally twist me around in circles with some philosophical thing, you know, because I allowed myself to get into, like, you know, having to assume his premises or whatever. And at the end of it, I'm like, what a waste of time that was, you know? And it kind of like, oh, bummer, I don't want to have to do that again. You know, that was really uncomfortable. That didn't feel good, you know. And for a little bit, it just kind of discouraged me from even telling, you know, I don't want to get in another one of those conversations, you know, where I look stupid, you know, because, like, that's the worst thing in the world if I look stupid, right? And it was really uncomfortable. And it's like, who cares, Charlie, right? Who cares? You know what? I hope I get to talk to that guy again. Because next time, I'm not going to beat him in an argument. I'm going to try to tell him about Jesus, right? And if I talk to somebody that's smarter than me, well, God has me talk to that person. Why does God have me talk to that person? I have no idea. But take comfort. God's got you talking to that person. And tell him whatever it is that the Lord wants you to say, and you know, we just trust the rest of God. Well, I'm ending a little bit early, so I don't know if there are any questions, but if there are, I'll try to answer them. Yeah. Right. Yeah, sometimes there are and sometimes there aren't. And for as hard as it is that we want every conversation to go well, they just all don't. Right? And so sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you will not get out of that trap, okay? I think, and there's just so many different ways to handle it. If you're talking to somebody that's really has some philosophical sophistication, you really can reason with them to a point where you expose the fallacy of their argument, right? Where you're answering in a sense a fool according to his folly, and you can get somebody to realize that at that point that idea of subjectivism or relativism falls apart. Not everybody's that sophisticated, and so I think what I try to do, and again, I'm not saying I try to do this and so it works 100%. I said, okay, well, here is my truth. Okay, guess what? God really is real. And, you know, well, let's talk about truth. And this is what he's done. So I want to get to the, I'll get to the gospel. So here's what happens. Jesus Christ. And, you know, and if they let you talk, then they're letting you talk and you shifted gears as opposed to just continuing going around in a circle on that thing. If they're going to let you get to where you want to go, then get to where you want to go. Anybody else?
What's the consequence?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a variation of Pascal's wager, right? Like, when all said and done, if God's real, what's the harm? You know, put your bet there. There are different ways to get across. So I know that's hard. So again, just sometimes you just have to try to shift gears if they let you. And then understand that sometimes they won't let you shift gears. And that's when the conversation probably just needs to be terminated and picked up at a later time. You know, I mean, we read the last time, the quote from Calvin, he talked about fruitless labor sometimes, you know, which it can seem like that. And so we just pick it up at a later time. And not exactly that, but just because I'm talking, so I can keep talking. Sometimes people ask questions you can't answer. You know what, as a Christian, not exactly that one, but maybe more of a philosophical type thing. You just go, hey, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but I know this, I know there is. If it's really that important to you, I can find the answer. But how about we move on in the conversation, right? You don't need to feel like you have to answer every single thing that they've got, because you don't, right? All right, no more? Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for today. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that we, by your grace, Lord, and mercy, would be excited about the reality of being taken out of the kingdom of darkness and being brought into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And to whatever, Lord, ability or degree that you've given us, God, that we would be willing to tell other people about Jesus. And we pray, God, that you would save bunches and bunches of people, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.